I love what I feel here. I'm excited for what God has in store for us today. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. I give high honor to your pastor today, Pastor Gilbert. I love and appreciate him and his family. The confidence that they have entrusted in me is beyond measure. And I love and appreciate him so, so much. I know that you guys were expecting Cody Marks, but you got Gentry Ashley today. I appreciate the confidence that your pastor has entrusted to me, and I do not take it lightly. Bishop Gilbert, I love you. I appreciate you so much. Thank you for being here today. My prayers are with you over these last few months. I hold you close to my heart. I know it's not easy, but you are in my prayers. And it is always an honor to see some of my best friends in the whole world, Jordan and Jessica. I love you both so, so much. I love them. They're great people of God. I will not belabor the point. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me there. And while you're turning there, I just want to say that I really battled this week with what I felt to preach. And as I was on my way here last night, I really was wrestling in my spirit with what I felt like the Lord wanted me to preach. And Jordan stopped by just for a brief moment to talk, and he brought me a steamer for my shirt. And as he was standing there, I told him the moment I walked through the door and I sat down, it was like the Lord just dropped it in my spirit exactly what I felt like I needed to preach. And so today I feel like I have a word for Truth Church. John chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And the Bible says, and Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. Everybody say, from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. This morning, I do not come to fascinate you with a great revelation, but I feel like I've just heard simply from God. I'm going to preach from this title. There's a miracle in this mess. There is a miracle in this mess. Why don't you put your Bibles down, take a neighbor by the hand if it's appropriate, raise it to heaven, and ask God to come down and touch us today. Lord Jesus, I love you. God, I exalt you high above all the earth. God, I pray that your spirit would come down and reign in this house. Lord, anoint my lips of clay. Hide me behind the cross. Lord, for I am not the author. I am merely a messenger of your faith. And God, I am believing that you're going to come down today and perform a miracle. Show us your glory. I cast out every spirit of disbelief. I cast out every spirit that would come against the church of the Most High God. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would be made manifest in this house. And it's in the mighty name of Jesus that we pray. Somebody clap your hands unto the Lord. Praise God, praise God. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Thank you, praise team, for bringing us into the very presence of God. Appreciate your time and effort. There is a miracle in this mess. There is a lot that could be said about this word called the process. And if you know anything about being a Christian, whether you have been in church for 2 weeks or whether you've been in church for 2 years, you know that this word called the process is not something that we want to talk about. Amen. We would rather talk about the promise. Yeah. We would rather talk about the grass that is greener on the other side. Please talk to me, preacher, about the land that floweth with milk and honey. Don't talk to me about the 40 years that I've got to spend wandering in the wilderness. Am I talking to anybody in the house? Whenever you start talking about the process, it's funny. People stop making eye contact with you, Brother Trevor. Everybody starts looking down at the ground and they start saying, well, you know what? I don't really want to hear that today, preacher. You talk to me about my miracle. Talk to me about the things that God promised me that He would do. Talk to me about the good things, because I do not want to endure this thing called the process. So why is it that we as the people of God are so scared of this thing called the process? What is it about it that we do not wish to endure? Many people will have many different views of this thing called the process, but this word is defined as a series of actions or steps taken in order to achieve a particular end. In the midst of these steps, we as Christians soon find out that the process is not always a bed of roses. It is not always a land that floweth with milk and honey, just getting there. It is this process. It is a tiresome place which brings about heartache and pain. We begin to find ourselves in these things, and we understand that the process is a messy place. Somebody say it's a messy place. We would be lying to ourselves today if we were to say that we enjoy these hard times. We would be lying to ourselves to say that we enjoy going through the hard times. And I've come to tell somebody today that no matter how much money is in your bank account, no matter how anointed that you think you are, I do not care how many conferences you preach or what your job title is, the process, it respects no man. It is no respecter of persons. It will come to you when you least expect it. It will come knocking on your door. It will come to your family. It will come to your friends, because this process respects no person. And in our text, Mr. Salmon, if you could just help me out just a little bit. My voice is a little weak. I've preached 3 times this week already. I promise I'll pray blessings on you. I promise I will. But this thing called the process, we find in our text that this man had literally been going through his process all of his life. The Bible identifies his story as this: a man which was blind from his birth. But in the midst of this man's process, there came a man named Jesus. And as Jesus and his disciples walked down the road, his disciples began to ask him, "Master, who did this sin? Was it this man, or was it his parents that he was born blind?" And many times I feel like we as people, as apostolics, we get caught up in the why me mentality. We're always looking for something that maybe we have done or something that somebody else has done in order for us to be put inside of the situation that we're in. And in the midst of it, we begin to play the blame game. We're trying to find things in our life to pin our problems on. And therefore, we begin to justify everything that's happening based on what we think is actually happening. But Jesus spoke up immediately and said in John chapter 9, verse 3, Jesus answered, "Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." Meaning that it wasn't anything that he had done to get himself in this mess. It was by divine order. that this man had been blind from birth. He had been blind from birth because God himself ordained this process. It was not for any other reason other than for God to be glorified. Some of you sitting underneath the sound of my voice this morning need to stop blaming yourself for the problems that are placed in your life. You need to understand that God ordained this mess. God ordained this process. Your mama and your daddy didn't put you here. God put you here. I know it doesn't look like it right now, but my God placed me here. I know it doesn't look like it, but God set me here. You know what? I know it doesn't look like it right now, but just because God isn't making sense doesn't mean my God isn't making a miracle. Your process has been God ordained. And I've come to tell you that God is just trying to use this process to lift up his name higher and above every other name. There's nobody else who can help you. There's no doctor that can help. There's no marriage counselor who can help you. But when I say the name Jesus, every knee must, every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because my bank account must bow when I say Jesus. My doctor must surrender when I say, every demon in hell must flee. I've come to preach to somebody who's in the midst of a big old mess. I don't know who I'm preaching to, but I've come to knock on your door today and tell you that there's about to be a promise that's about to burst forth from these ashes. There's about to be a miracle that would burst forth from these ashes. I don't know what in the world you're going through, but hang on, baby. Jesus is on the way. I know you've been blind from birth, but Jesus is on the way. I know you don't understand, but Jesus is taking one more step in your direction. For those of you in which you feel like God has left you high and dry in the middle of your situation, and now you're feeling like God has forsaken you, and now you might be feeling a little bit bitter about your situation, 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 9 says this: and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul, he had a thorn in his flesh that three times he asked God, God, I need you to take this problem away from me, because I wake up and it's there, and I go to sleep and it's there. And some nights, God, I don't even get the sleep that I need. But I promise you that God's answer to Paul was not the one he was expecting. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And I've come to preach to somebody, you've been asking God for a word, and God's telling you, my grace is enough for you. And you can get mad at God all you want, but you asked for a word, and God gave you a word. His word was, I'll sustain you. I'll give you everything you need. But my grace is sufficient for thee. Instead of removing the thorn from Paul's life, God gave and would keep giving his grace to Paul. The grace God gave Paul was sufficient to meet every need. Paul was desperate in his desire to find relief from his burden. But what Paul did not understand at the time was there are two types of relief that God can give someone. Relief can come by removing this load, number one. Or number two, God can strengthen the shoulder in which carrying the load. And can I preach to somebody today? God's not trying to remove your load. He's trying to strengthen your shoulder. He's trying to give you strength to carry on. Get ready. There's strength coming. There's deliverance coming. I'm here. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost. There's a burden that's pushing on you, but God is strengthening your shoulder. God's strength in your weakness is made perfect. I know you feel weak, but His strength is perfect. Because you will never understand comfort from God until you need comforting. And you will never understand the true power of a miracle until you need a miracle. But the problem with the miraculous is that it requires movement on my behalf. Because God never promised me that it would be easy. But He told me my strength would be made perfect because of Him. So before you start jumping to conclusions as to why God left you, don't forget, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Romans 8:28, we all know it and can quote it. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that are. Does not say that all things are good. It says all things work together for the good. So I know it looks bad, but I welcome it today. Because if His purpose is working in my life, that's all I need. You can be seated. As we jump back into the story in our text, Jesus saw this blind man and immediately began to get to work. But whenever we see Jesus begin His work, it is nothing like we've ever seen in the past. It was not something that was familiar to the disciples. It was not something familiar to those who were around Him. Because with the man at the pool of Bethesda, Jesus said, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And with the miracle of the feeding of 5,000, Jesus took the 5,000 people and He took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And with His 2 hands, He blessed and broke the bread and fish and fed the entire multitude. It was not that the disciples had not seen Jesus perform miracles. It was just simply not the way that they were expecting Him to begin this particular miracle. Because this time, Jesus spat on the ground. And the Bible says that He began to make clay out of the mud that was created from His spit. The thing about the start of this miracle is that it simply did not make sense. Jesus was God manifest in the flesh. He was King of Kings. He was Lord of Lords. He could have simply spoken the word only, just as He did for all of the other miracles. And the man could have been seeing the moment that Jesus spoke. But Jesus did not do that. But just because God does not make sense, it does not mean He's not working. Just because God does not work the way that you think He should work, it does not mean that God is not already orchestrating what needs to happen in your life. I'm preaching to somebody today. I know it doesn't make sense, but God is not required to work the way that you think He should work. Tell somebody, Jesus took what was already a mess and made more of a mess out of it. Anybody ever been in a situation you feel like, listen, there ain't no way on God's green earth it could get any worse than this, Jordan? God, I'm telling you, there is nothing that you could do right now to make it any worse than what it already is. And then here comes Jesus. Hey guys, I know I'm God, and I know I can speak the word. I can do anything you guys want me to do, but you know what I'm going to do? You guys ever made mud pie? Yeah. Jesus spits on the ground and starts making a mess. God, do you not understand that my family is falling apart?
Do you not understand that I don't have 2 cents to my name? And what do you want to do? You want to tell me to give it in the offering.
That's right.
God, what in the world are you doing? But Jesus said, listen, whenever I make messes, I make miracles. And despite what your mess looks like, my mess is a miracle. I don't know if you know this, but Adam and Eve were made out of a mess. So if my God can take absolutely nothing, turn it into a mess, and make the most perfect creature on the face of the earth, you tell me my God isn't a miracle-working God. You see, sometimes we look at our mess and we say, there's no way that this mess can turn into anything worse. But I've come to remind somebody today that God does not work the way that we think he should work. So can I tell you that I know that it looks messy right now. And I know that you think that everything's falling apart and you're losing everything that you worked for. But my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory. I don't know what you need, but my God is making a miracle out of your mess. Get ready, baby, it's coming. Deliverance is coming. And not only that, Jesus didn't just make a mess and leave it on the ground. Jesus puts it on you. He took that mess and he just started wiping. And to people, they look at us and they say, that's crazy. You apostolics are absolutely nuts. How dare you go up to that front and be anointed with oil and be laid on of hands? Okay, it's biblical, number one. But number two, I've come to tell somebody today that God is wiping mess on you so that you can go wash it off. The very next thing he said was go wash in the pool of Siloam. And the moment he went and washed, he could see clear as day. I've come to preach to somebody who don't have the Holy Ghost today. You can't get deliverance without being baptized in Jesus' name. The Bible says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall, for the promises unto you and your children and those that are off. If you need a miracle today, get the Holy Ghost today. Be baptized in his name today. I don't care how messy it looks in your life right now. The master is telling you to go wash that mess off. It's time for you to see again. It's time for you to rejoice again. It's time for you to smile again. You haven't smiled in a long time. You haven't been used in a long time. But I've come to tell somebody today that joy is coming in the morning. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. I'm glad Brother Trevor's getting the victory today, but is there anybody who's been knocked down? You've been knocked down, beat, busted, and disgusted, but the Lord... I've come to preach to somebody about there's a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. It's time for you to laugh again. It's time for you to dance again. Woo! I've come to preach to somebody. There's a dance that's about to be resurrected in your mess. You know what? I'm supposed to preach what I'm about to tell you tonight, but I've come to tell somebody today that you're like Paul. You've been shipwrecked, and as if the shipwreck wasn't enough, Brother Jordan, you are beaten down. Bubba, you look like somebody done take you, throw you up against every alley in Denison, Texas. And some of you look like it right now. I'm just joking. Everybody calm down. But you look like a mess. And that's what Paul looked like. Bubba, he was a mess. He was. Y'all don't judge me, please. Let me come back one day. But he was a mess. And as he's there, the Bible says that as he's shipwrecked, immediately they accept him. They bring him in. They build a fire. They make sure they're warm. Everything's good to go. But then Paul, out of 276 people that were shipwrecked, Paul found himself working. Do not think that you are exempt from being a servant. I don't care how big your mess is, you still have to serve. You still got to show up to the house of God. Don't you dare give me that telling me that you can't come to the house of God because your life's too rough. Paul, he had been shipwrecked. I got to come down here because some of y'all don't even hear me right now. Paul's working. He's carrying sticks. He could have said, God, look at me, I'm serving. But he didn't. He walked into the fire, and as he throws it into the fire, what happens? More problems come. God, I don't know what you want me to do. This mess is bad enough. And you mean to tell me that a serpent's going to come out while I've been working and going to make my problem worse? Oh. But then I like Paul's response. Paul could have done two things. Number one, he could have said, God, why me? Because let me tell y'all something. Serpent comes out at Gentry Ashley. There ain't no more Gentry Ashley no more. I'm gone. I'm running. Best snake's a dead snake. Can't stand him. Don't want to know. Can I get an amen, somebody? I don't want no part, Brother Austin. I don't want no part of no snake. Tell you, I might have been born in the country, but Bubba, I'll run just like a city slicker. I promise you that. And so, Paul, snake latches onto his hand. The Bible doesn't say that dude just bit him and took off. The Bible says it latched onto his hand. Now imagine a snake latching onto your hand. Some of you would lose your Holy Ghost so fast. You could have said, God, look at all these other people. How come they weren't serving? How come they weren't doing the work of God? But Paul said, no, sir. God gave me this mess. So now it's up to me how I handle this mess. Some of you got problems that have latched on to you. And Bubba, they have followed you day in and day out. They hang on you every single day. And you walk into work and it's hanging on your hand. You walk into church and it's hanging in your hand. And you wonder why you can't shout. Because you let the devil hang on you. Let me ask you something, Jordan. Would you let a snake in your house? Would you like, tell me that.
Absolutely not.
Why you let the devil in your house? The Bible says in Genesis that it was the serpent that they began to talk to. Some of you been letting the devil in your house and you got snakes all over your house. But can I tell you that you ought to resurrect your dance? You ought to resurrect your shape. You ought to say, devil, I refuse. I refuse to let you stay in my life. I refuse. I will not stay another night. I will not spend another day. I'm getting the devil off my life. I'm getting the devil off my promise. I'm getting the devil off my babies. Some of you, God has been trying to resurrect something in you that you've lost. But some of you, God's not trying to give you back something that you once had. I'm going to say it one more time. God's not trying to give you back something that you once had. God's trying to give you something you've never had before. Amen. You don't believe me? I'll tell you about it. The woman with the issue of blood, Jesus gave her back her health. And the man from the pool of Bethesda, he gave him back his walk. And Lazarus, he gave him back his life. But with this man, he had never seen before. Therefore, God was trying to take him somewhere that he had never been. You wonder why it's so messy right now? It's because you've never treaded these waters before. And God's not trying to give you something that you once lost. He's trying to give you something you have never had. An anointing that's bigger. An anointing that's better. I'm talking about a ministry that will move foundations of the earth. I'm talking about singing ministries that will cause people to be resurrected. You hear me today. God is trying to bring you somewhere no man has ever been. God's not trying to renovate something from your past. Some of you saying, well, God, I wish they'd come back into my life. I wish that boyfriend or girlfriend just come back. Get over it. Let me tell you something. Sometimes people are good to lose. Take a good long look at their life. Take a good long look at where they are. God's not trying to give you back the girlfriend you lost or the boyfriend that you lost. He's not trying to give you back a ministry that was dead once. God's trying to give you something you've never had. And can I tell you, it'll be bigger, it'll be better, and God will do something in you that you've never seen happen before. Get ready, baby. There's victory coming. There's miracles coming. I know it's messy, but there's a miracle on the way. Process is messy, but if the mess is what it's going to take to get the promise, baby, bring it back to me. Because I'm come to tell somebody today that as long as his hands are on my mess, I don't care how messy it gets, Jordan. I know it's hard right now. I know it's hard to show up on Sunday morning when nobody else will show up. I know it's hard, Brother Gary, when nobody sees your faithfulness. I know it's hard. But God didn't ask you to understand him. God told you to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. I don't care how muddy it gets along the way. If I'm trusting in his hand, it's going to be okay. As long as he's leading me, I'm going to be all right. Some of you just need to grab onto the nail scarred hand today. Jesus, take my mess. Do whatever you got to do to it, Lord, because I'm here. Hope is not lost for you. Joy is not lost for you. The promise is not lost for you. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but you're so confused. You don't know which way to look. You don't know which way to run. You don't know which way's up. You don't know which way's down. But I've come to tell you that there's a master today. Raise your hands all across the house. I feel the Holy Ghost. We walk by faith and not by sight. It's not your job to see it. I said it's not your job to see it. Musicians come. Singers come. It's not your job to do God's job. I know we shifted gears, but I feel like I'm in the Holy Ghost right here. The Bible says that Martha and Mary were in a predicament. Their brother Lazarus was sick. Lazarus is sick, Jessica, and it don't look good. The only person who can help them out is Jesus. So they send for Jesus. As they sin for Jesus, it's like Jesus just takes his own sweet time getting there. And it don't make sense. You hear me today? It don't make sense how God's working. Jesus, I told you that I got a problem. And you want to sit here and take your sweet time getting to my problem. And Jesus just said, you know what? We'll get there when we get there. And as they get there, Jesus already knew. He said, yeah, Lazarus is dead. The Bible even says in John chapter 11 that Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. But then Jesus says in verse 15, Jordan, he says, and I am glad for your sake. For your sake that I was not there. For the intent that ye may believe. Some of you, your problem was God ordained. God made sure he showed up late. Because he knew that your faith that you have right now will never get the promise. And it will never see a miracle. Because you sit on a church pew and you think that God is not able and you think that God has forsaken you. But God is telling you today, it is for your sake that I did not show up on time. I did not show up. Just stand all across the house. I'm closing right here. Jesus told sisters, he's going to rise again. And they said, yeah, Lord, we know eventually, one day we're going to understand it better by and by. We'll understand God one day better by and by. And Jesus said, no, I'm talking about today, crazy woman. Some of you need to get out of your mentality that thinks that God ain't able to do anything. I'm about to say it again because they didn't even hear me over there. Some of you don't think that God is the God of the impossible. How many of you know that God can make cookies without cookie dough? Yes, sir. Is there like a 12-year-old? Actually, is that sweet, precious baby? Do you think she would come up here? Maybe. You come up here, baby? You come up here, see me? Come on. Come on now. That's what I need. I need some childlike faith in the house because I'm about to resurrect somebody's right here. Come on, girl. Come on, girl. You come up here. Please just help me just for 1 second. Here. You can stay right there. You know what you need? You need the faith of a child. You need the faith that says, listen, I don't really understand it all, but my God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all I could ask or think, according to the power that worketh within me. And so, Jordan, this is what happened. Listen, you better help me out. If you don't help me, I'm going to come get on that keyboard myself. This is exactly what happened. Jesus walks to Mary and Martha and he said, ma'am, you take me where he is because I'm sick and tired of your complaining. You think that I can't do it and I'm about to show you, I'm about to show everybody. Yeah. Jesus said, you take me to where he lay. And then here comes that flesh again. But Jesus, he's dead. Thank you, sis. Somebody reads the Bible in this church. I'm so, praise God. She said, but God, it's a mess. It's nasty, Jesus. Do you know what it smells like? My miracle is nasty. My problem is nasty. Jesus, you don't want no part of that. Jesus, you don't want to smell that right now. You don't want to deal with my mess right now. But you know what Jesus said? You take that stone and you roll it away because I want every bit of that mess that's inside of there. And then Jesus, he just says, you know what? I've had it. I'm done, Brother Trevor. I'm tired of you talking about your mess. Lazarus, come forth. And everything that was once dead is now coming back to life because Jesus is not afraid of your mess. Jesus is not afraid of your problem. And can I tell you today, Jesus is speaking to your problem. Problem, come forth. Wake up again. Speak again. Laugh again. But Jesus ain't done yet. Jesus said, you know, he's been doing good. He's alive now, but he's still bound. You can get your miracle and stay the exact same way that you have always stayed. You want me to prove it to you? Because you show up to church and you just sit there. God's done the miracle. I'm alive. I used to be dead, but I'm alive now. But let me tell you something. Vultures, you know what they do? They come up to you and with their beak, they peck at the eye to see. I'm sorry, my breath probably stinks right now. They peck at the eye. Why do they do that? Because they're trying to see if you're alive, my guy. And if you sit there like a bump on a log, the devil's gonna think you dead. But can I tell somebody it's time for you to get loose again? If you don't want to run the aisles, I'll do it myself. I don't need you. I come to tell somebody I'm getting loose in the Holy Ghost again. I'm alive and well. I'm not dead. Do I have somebody who just wants a miracle? That's all you want. You're not asking God for anything extravagant. You're just asking God for a miracle. If you need a miracle today, I want you to come to this front. Now listen, if I only preach to two people, that's okay. I'm gonna shout this place down with two people. But I've come to preach to somebody. You've been looking at a life that's busted and disgusted, and you don't know what you're gonna do. You don't know where the money's gonna come from. You don't know what the marriage counselor's gonna say. But I've come to tell somebody, Lazarus, wake up, wake up. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for coming. God's beginning to do a work right now, feeling the Holy Ghost. This is what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. I want you to get as close as you can to this front. We got altar workers. They're going to help you out. I've come to preach to somebody today that you can leave a different way than you walked in. But if you want to leave the same way that you came, stay where you are. Because if you come up here, this is the splash zone. And there's about to be miracles all up in this place. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what you need. I promise you, God didn't come down from heaven and tell me what you need. But I feel in the Holy Ghost that God is about to resurrect somebody. He's about to resurrect your spirit. He's about to resurrect your hands again. So this is what we're going to do. This is what we're going to do. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to bring it to the forefront of your mind. I want you to think about it real good. I want you to think about it to where it's the only thing thinking about that you need God to do. And I want you to bring it to the forefront. And on the count of three, they're going to sing. And I want you to praise God like your miracle just walked through the door. I want you to praise God like you just woke up the next day and there's a brand new miracle sitting on your front door. Are you ready? Raise your hands right now. I want you to pray with me right now. Lord, I want you to come through on my behalf. God, you see this mess. But God, I believe right now that you're about to take this mess and resurrect it. God, you're about to give me something I've never seen before. God, you're about to do something for me that I couldn't fathom. Are you ready? Come on, somebody praise God like you're getting your miracle right now. Come on, praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Waymaker, calling on you right now.
This so strongly in the Holy Ghost. If you need healing in this house, if you don't need healing, do me a favor, just take one step back. I promise we'll get to your problems right now. But if you need healing, I want you to come and I want you to get as close to this front as you possibly can. If you need divine healing, I'm talking about something that no man can do. I'm talking about divine healing. Because listen, whether you like it or not, there is faith in this house. And God is about to, I want y'all to sing that song again. There's something in that song. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. God is about to heal somebody from the top of your head to the sole of your foot. If you need healing, I'll say it one more time. If you need healing, I want you to come to the front. Get as close as you can. If you know somebody who needs healing, you bring them to this front. Here we go. Listen, the Bible says that the prayer of faith
shall save the sick. If there's altar workers, I want you to help me. I want you to pray like you've never prayed before. But I'm believing God to come down right now. And God is going to work a miracle in you. You hear me? You're going to get reports this week that you didn't know were coming. You're going to get doctor's reports this week that you didn't know were going to come. Here we go. Turn me up in the sound room. Whoever you are, turn me up. Right now in the name of Jesus, I want you to pray. I rebuke every spirit of sickness in this house. I come against every devil in hell, every infirmity. I rebuke the spirit of cancer. I rebuke the spirit of diabetes. I rebuke the spirit of fear. I rebuke every depression. Let healing virtue flow. Right now in the name of Jesus, let healing virtue from the top of your head to the sole of your foot.
You're rocking a weary land, shelter in the time of trouble.
You ought to shout like it just happened. Come on, is there anybody who believes that it just took place?
Of all creation.
testify about the miracle that God has put in their life right now. The Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So I've come to tell you, He healed me of a broken back. He can do the same for you. He healed my mama of cancer. He can do the same for you. He healed my father of brain aneurysms. He can do the same thing for you. Let me prophesy to somebody today and tell you the healing is in the house. I would that someone that had cancer one time and it's dried up and gone would go to a saint in the church that you know has cancer right now, and you just would begin to encourage them, tell them, I know that it's hard right now, but trouble don't last always. And my God is a God that's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power. Oh, come on. Do you believe it today? I know we've sung about it, but do you believe that He is a way maker? Did He bring you out? Without a doubt, will He do it again and again and again?
Oh, how do you know He's a way maker? What has He done for you? Has He brought you out?
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Has He saved your soul?
Yes.
Has He made you whole?
Yes.
He's a way maker.
Christ, for the remission of your sins. You've never felt what it feels like to have the blood of Jesus put a covering over you and have your sins washed away into the sea of forgetfulness. I beg and plead with you, we have water. What doth hinder you? What doth hinder you? For today is the day of salvation, and you'll come up speaking in another tongue as the Spirit of the Lord gives you the utterance. It can happen today. It can happen today. We're going to sing it one more time, Sister Lisi. And I want you, if you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost and you've never been baptized in His name, make your way over here to the side of the platform. We'll put you down in a watery grave, and the old man will die and it'll be gone, and you'll be a new creature.
Tell me, how do you know Jesus is the way maker? What has He done for you? Has He brought you out? Let me hear it.
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Yes.
Did He save your soul?
Yes.
Has He made you whole?
Yes. He's a way maker.
Yes, He is.
He's a way maker.
He has made a way.
He's a way maker.
When there seems to be no way.
He's a way maker.
He's a lamp unto my feet.
He's a way maker.
Anybody that's thankful today for all that He's done today? Is anybody thankful that He is faithful to do it? The Bible says that great is Thy faithfulness. I'm thankful that what makes a good God great is that He's faithful to do it again and again and again and again. Not just on a Sunday, but tomorrow morning when you wake up and you ain't feeling the greatest, He's a faithful God. On Tuesday morning, when you go to the doctor and you get a bad report, He's a faithful God. On Wednesday night, when you come to church and you just ain't feeling all that strength that you had at the beginning of the week, He's a faithful God. He is faithful, amen. One more time, why don't we give God a hand clap of praise? God, oh, come on, I feel another wave coming on. Why don't we go ahead and give him a little bit more praise? I think we ought to take some time and give him something that he deserves. Let's not just make the service about us, but let's give a God who is worthy of everything that we have to give. He gave us our healing. Let's give him some praise. Let's give him some glory. Let's give him some honor. My God, have mercy. It feels good in this house. Don't let us stop on a Sunday. Don't let us stop on a Sunday. You bring this with you. You bring it to work. You lay hands on a sick person at work, and you pray through to the Holy Ghost, and then tell God that they need to be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Greater works than these shall you do in my name. That's what Jesus said. Let's be a church of truth that believes the word and practices it. Amen. Brother Gentry Ashley, thank you so much for a divine word from God. Truth Church, thank you so much for being here, for responding to the great word of God that was given this morning. Does anybody just feel a weight lifted off? If nothing else, maybe you didn't have anything that needed to be healed, but I feel light this morning. Amen. The heaviness is gone. Amen, amen. Be here on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for church-wide prayer, a church that prays together. Who's going to be here Wednesday night at church?
Welcome.
You out. I'm ready to be here to see what God is going to do on a Wednesday night. Thank you so much on behalf of Pastor. We love each and every one of you. Thank you for being faithful to the house of God. Go and be blessed and be healed in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. You are dismissed.